in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. In the name of Jesus, you might be seated. Welcome to day 3 of our 21 days avalanche of abundance, prayer and fasting. Glory to God. There is grace for us. Glory to God. I say glory to God. It matters how you begin the year. It matters how you start the year. How the year will turn out for you depends on how you begin the year, the preparations you make. The quality of your preparation determines your level of manifestation. You don't get what you want, you get what you prepare for. I showed you that scripture yesterday, 2 Chronicles 27 verse 6. Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord. You want to enjoy a great 2024? You want to enjoy a glorious 2024? You want to walk in abundance, see the fulfillment of the prophetic word? Then thorough, adequate preparation is the key. You must take responsibility. Glory to God. For every prophetic word, you have a participatory role. You have a participatory role. If you want the word of God to come to pass in your life, you must play your part. You have a participatory role to play in partnership with God. Hallelujah. The word of God is authentic. The word of God is real. The word of God is an eternally valid truth. But its manifestation in your life depends on you. It depends on you. If the word of God does not come to pass in your life, it is not God's fault. Neither is it the fault of the word. It's because you did not play your part well. You didn't take up responsibilities for that word to become your experience. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I started talking on a very important, very crucial teaching yesterday. Contending for what? For our inheritance in Christ, right? Contending for our inheritance in Christ, part 2. Today, we continue. Part 2. Contending for our inheritance in Christ. Glory to God. Deuteronomy 2:24. Contending for our inheritance in Christ. Part 2. It says, rise ye up, take your journey, pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given... I'm not going to give. I have given the past tense of God's word. I have given into thy hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Next. No. I don't mean the next verse. Begin to possess it. This is your responsibility now. Can you see this? Watch this. God say, I have given you Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. I have given you as your inheritance. Then he said, this is your own responsibility. This is your own part of the equation. What is your part? Help me. Begin to possess it. And what? The process of possessing your inheritance will involve what? Contention. These are militant words. That word, contend, is a militant word. Contend with him in battle, because he will not just surrender the land to you like that. The enemy will not just allow you enjoy your inheritance like that. He will just allow you to just take over the promised land like that. He said those giants, they will do everything within their power to stop you from possessing your possession. That is where I said you must learn to contend in battle. You must learn to fight the good fight of faith. You must learn to engage in spiritual warfare based on your understanding that this has been given to me as my inheritance. Are you seeing this? So knowledge and understanding of your inheritance is what sponsors, are you getting this now? Is what sponsors your is what sponsors that revelation that helps you to triumph in battle. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. So the process of possessing the promised land, this land of abundance, we involve contention. We involve spiritual warfare. We'll involve fighting the good fight of faith. Glory to God. So that's to tell you there is a battle. There is a warfare involved. Glory to God. The enemy, Satan, your sworn enemy, has sworn that you will not enjoy any of those inheritance that Jesus has already purchased for you. The enemy and his cohort, the kingdom of darkness, they have vowed that you will not taste of your blood-bought inheritance. That's why he said, begin to possess it. And what? Contend with him in battle. Ayagabarakataya. How do you do that? I say by fighting the good fight of it. You need to take responsibility. God will not play your part for you. You need to take responsibility for you to enjoy your inheritance. You must take responsibility. Malekobosabataya. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. Shakaburakata. You have to put up a fight. You must be a registered fighter if you want to enjoy your inheritance. Kalido sebeletina randekepo rakatai. You must partner with God. You must partner with the Holy Spirit in faith and in prayers based on the word of God in order to lay hold on your inheritance. Am I communicating? Liketo sebelekida. Jali kombarakatia randoboko sofratia. The promised land, we said yesterday, is a land of abundance. True of us, is a land of abundance, the promised land. And I said the promised land is not a type of heaven. It's not a typology of heaven. Because there were giants in the promised land, there were enemies. In heaven there are no giants, no enemies. So what does the promised land represent to us today? The promised land is a type of our place in Christ. Is a type of our covenant inheritance in Christ. Is a type of our privileged position, our favored place in Christ. Am I communicating? The promised land is a type of all the blessings and benefits of Christ's substitutionary sacrifice. All the blessings and benefits of the finished work of Christ is a land that floweth with milk and honey. And we say milk and honey is a picture of what? Abundant fertility, soft life, sweet life. Am I communicating? A life of abundance, a life of freedom, a life of rest. Glory to God. Say with me, I'm enjoying a soft life. In Christ, we have a soft life, a life of ease, not struggles, not sweating, not toiling, not hardship, not a hard life. Glory to God. The promised land is a prophetic picture of a life of grace and favor that the new creation in Christ has been called to live. Am I communicating? He said, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, they shall reign in life. It's a prophetic picture of our place in Christ, our position in Christ, that vantage position, favored position, our covenant inheritance as believers. All that belongs to us in Christ. Malekobo Sabakataya talks about our blood-bought inheritance in Christ. Now, the journey to contending, before you start contending for your inheritance in Christ, you must first understand your inheritance. You must first know, you must be aware that you have an inheritance. And then you must understand the inheritance. You must know that there is an inheritance, is there. Because how can you contend and fight for what is not there? Am I communicating? You say you are fighting for your money. They now ask, where is the money? It's nowhere to be found. You can only fight for something that exists. Am I communicating? And that you are aware it exists. So that revelation of your inheritance is very important. You must have a revelation knowledge of it. You must understand your inheritance in Christ. Because many believers are victims of ignorance. He said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Hosea 4 verse 6. He didn't say because Satan is powerful. He didn't say because Satan has not been defeated. My people perish for what? Lack of knowledge. That's ignorance problem. Ignorance. So you need the light of revelation. You need to understand your place in Christ. Understand who you are in Christ. Your identity. Your divine identity. You must know who you are. You are a son of God. You are a child of God. You are born of God. You are a citizen of heaven. You are not trying to make heaven. The day you got born again, you became a citizen of heaven. You are here on earth to give other people visa by soul winning. Am I communicating? And then you are here on an assignment, kingdom advancement and establishment mandate. Heaven, have you heard some believer? Heaven at last. Heaven is not our goal. Heaven is our home. Did you hear what I said? Heaven is our home, is not our goal. We have an assignment. If heaven is your goal, why didn't God kill you the day you got born again and take you to heaven? Answer now. God could have killed you the day you got saved.
and taking you to heaven. So why did he keep you on earth? We are here on assignment. Heaven is already our home. We are not in a hurry to go there. Even God, if he sees you today in heaven, he will ask you, why are you here before the time? The assignment I gave you on earth, have you completed it? And you say no. So what are you doing here? Are you getting me? There is an earthly mission. I think I taught this thing in the missionary church. Right? We did the missionary church now. We are here on a purpose, for a purpose. We are here to advance and establish God's kingdom through soul winning, discipleship, etc. So that more people will be saved. So that more people will make heaven. Glory to God. I say glory to God. You must know who you are in Christ. You must know what you have in Christ. Your inheritance. Failure is not part of your inheritance. Are you getting me? Sickness is not. You need to know your inheritance in Christ. Poverty, no day part of it. No grief for poverty this year. No grief for sickness this year. No grief for failure. No grief for any. Listen, anything Jesus has paid the price for, refuse to suffer it. We know the grace of God, 2 Corinthians 8:9, that he was rich, Jesus was rich. For our sake, he became poor on the cross. For 3 days and three nights, he bore our poverty. He became poor that we, through his poverty, might be made rich. If has he been made poor? Yes, 2,000 years ago. So we've been made rich in Christ, legally. Are you getting this? You need to know this is your inheritance. Holy Barakataya. Listen, if you are born again, the believer is not the poor trying to be rich. Mm-mm. You've been made rich in Christ. Jesus has already taken away your poverty. He exchanged it and gave. Listen, on the cross there was an exchange. He took our poverty. He gave us his wealth and riches. He took our sickness. He gave us his health and healing. He took our pain. He took our sorrow. He gave us joy. There was a great exchange. He took our debt. He died our debt. He gave us his life. You need to know your rights and privileges in Christ. These are very important. You see, when a new convert gets born again, these are the things we should be teaching them. Pastors, are you hearing me? Not all these realms, portals, and dimensions. Malcolm is laughing. These are the things they must understand, or else your faith life will not kick off. Your faith cannot, you cannot live the victorious life if you don't understand these basics. Hallelujah. I used to suffer sickness. Until I saw these things in the Bible. With the help of my teachers and some books I read, especially E.W. Kenyon's book, The Apostle of Redemption. When I read what happened from the cross to the throne, I was a medical student. I read that book. For the first time, I understood what Christianity was all about. Was I a Christian before then? Yes. But a religious one, without understanding, without much light. But when I read that book, what light came. It changed my Christian. Even my prayers changed. My prayer points changed. If you want to know somebody's level of understanding, give them prayer to lead. Or listen to what they say when they pray. If I hear you pray, I know how, where to place you. I know your level of understanding. Because you are going to pray based on your level of understanding. You will pray and lead prayer based on your understanding of God's word. So if you are ignorant, it will show in your prayer. And the prayer that works is the one that is based on the word of God. By that book, what happened from the cross to the throne? It opened my eyes. What? And E.W. Kenyon's book are very concentrated. You can be on one page for 1 hour. The truth there, they are concentrated. Better Kenneth Hagin's book, sir, you just be flowing. But Kenyon's book, thick. Some of the book are very tiny, like there's one, our identity, small. You will be on one page for long. Ah, you wonder, am I not making, why am I slow? Because it will compress so many truths in one page. Heavy. Bless God for that man. What a blessing it was to me. He opened my eyes to my inheritance. Revelation of who I was in Christ. What I have in Christ, my inheritance. Then, what I can do through Christ, my ability, my authority, my power and authority in Christ. Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power, so that you will not live a life. You see, the believer is not a victim. If you don't want to live a defeated life, you need to know who you are in Christ. You need to know what you have in Christ. You need to know what you can do through Christ. That's why the first three chapters of Ephesians talks of our place, our position, our who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, what we can do through Christ. Like 50% of the whole book of Ephesians, out of 6 chapters, the first 3 chapters, 50% was devoted to opening your eyes to that truth. Because it is on the basis of that understanding of who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, what you can do, that you walk and then you start and engage in warfare. Your spiritual warfare will be a failure if you don't have understanding of who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, and what you can do through Christ. Are you seeing this? Maleko Bosabata. Because even when you engage in warfare, it has to be powered, sponsored by light, the light of revelation knowledge. Maketo Bagada. So this is very important. You must know and understand your inheritance, or else the enemy will cheat you. Glory to God. Glory to God. If somebody blesses you with 10 million naira, if you don't know, if your bank does not send you alert, you don't know at all, it does not reflect in your account that 10 million naira has been sent to you, to that particular account, will you go to the bank to fight for it? So you see that you must first know you have an inheritance. But let me take it this way. Now you saw a lot, 10 million, you even start smiling. You even start smiling. You will now start thinking like somebody that is 10 million naira richer, right? You will start talking that way. Before you know, you are already planning what to do with the money. Then you now go to the bank. When you go, are you begging them to give you 10 million? No. You talk with audacity and confidence because you know it is yours. Knowledge of right, that's what belongs to you. It sponsors boldness. It imparts the might to even engage in a fight. In case the bank is trying to do you like this, your eye color will change. Please let me see your manager. Manager can even be begging you. If I at the vex, I won't withdraw my money. You know, there are some people that when they say they want to withdraw their money, bank managers will beg them. Are you aware? Because withdrawing all your money can crash that bank for that day. They won't have money for any other thing. They may not even have the money to give you at that point. They have to start calling their headquarters in Lagos. Oh, yeah. Let's say you have 200 million, 500 million in the account, and they annoyed you. Maybe they are trying, their bureaucracy, trying to waste your time, frustrate you. You just got angry. You say, sir, I want to withdraw all my 500 million. Ah, oh God, I beg, please. They will beg you. Am I communicating? There is a level that your money reaches in a bank that is the bank manager that will start calling you. You will reach there this year. Sir, how are you today? I just called to check on you. If you have never received that kind of phone call, then you need to work harder. And contend for what? We are talking about contending for what? Your inheritance in Christ. And part of your inheritance is plenty money. Am I communicating? Yes, they will start calling you. You don't know? Hey, bank people are smart too. They know those, their special customers. They must call you. In fact, they can even call you weekly, self. And make you... The day you enter that bank, is the bank manager that will bring you to his office. Sir, please make yourself comfortable. Please bring coffee, bring tea, bring something. They will entertain you. Say, sir, hey, how much did you say you want to withdraw? It will be the one, the bank manager. Not all those ones, the cashier that will be doing you like this. I beg, madam, stay for line. It's the bank manager. It will be the one to go and bring the money. He will even take it to your boot. Say, sir, hey, you want to carry? Say, no, sir, let me carry it for you. That's bank manager. He'll carry the thing. Let me put it inside. He will be the one to... He will forget about other customers. Glory to God. Let me tell your neighbor, know your inheritance. So that the enemy will not cheat you. Sickness is not part of your inheritance. The Bible says, by his stripes ye were healed. Past participle. You are not going to be healed. That's why you should not tolerate sickness or pain. React violently, powered by understanding that healing and health is your inheritance in Christ. Am I communicating? I wish above all things, 3 John verse 2, that you may prosper. Prosperity is your inheritance. And be in health. Divine health. Even as thy soul prospereth. Favor is your inheritance, not disfavor. Fire. Who has delivered us? Deliverance is part of your inheritance. Katabaya gabagataya. Premature death is not your inheritance in Christ. Jesus died so that you will enjoy life. He said, with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. Jesus died young. Was it not 33 and a half years he died? So that you will live long. Did you hear what I said? Jesus died young so that you will live long. He died your death and gave you his life. So speak life. In my path there is life. In my path there is no death. You see, when I travel, I don't even think accident or this arm robber. It doesn't cross my mind. I'm too intoxicated with my inheritance. In my path there is life. In my path there is no death. Shagabala kataya. Am I communicating? I don't think that way. During those just crises, my father was so worried. My parents, and you know, our parents are very loving people. They can be so worried, especially for you when you are a student. They were in Abuja. They say, we hear that they are killing people in Joso. And they always hear, even faster than you, that is in the place. we hear that today they attack somewhere close to where you are staying. They usually hear news. It's just like recently a friend of mine called from US. He said, it's just now that they are hearing they are killing people in Jos and all of that. I say it's not just so. It's Bokos, and you understand? Those people, they hear very fast too. I will always assure my father, he shouldn't worry for me, I'm safe. But he kept calling, until even me, I got tired and angry. I say, Baba, no worry. Even if you hear, say, everybody don't die for Jos, no belief. I go there alive somewhere. Hallelujah. See, it matters your mentality. Allow the word of God to brainwash you. Romans 12 verse 2. It says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't allow this world to squeeze you into their mold. Don't acquire their mentality, their mindsets. Don't buy into their ideologies, their perspective. Am I communicating? He said, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Allow the word of God to renew your mind. Am I communicating? And renewing your mind simply means replacing the old thoughts that have occupied your mind from the old man. All those old thoughts from the world, replace it with new thoughts from the word of God. Are you seeing this? So it's a reprogramming process, a deprogramming and reprogramming with the word of God. Allow God to brainwash you with his word. Allow the word of God to become your opinion on every matter. Are you listening? I traveled briefly on the second, went home for family meeting. Well, we normally do family meeting like that. We were supposed to do it after Christmas, but it was postponed, you know. And when all my siblings, we are seven, I'm the last born, with my father, we're doing family meeting. You won't know what the word of God has done to your mentality until you start relating with other people. Even some of your family members. Your perspective is so different. Your thinking is different from their own. Because your mind has been so cultured with the word of God. You see things from the perspective of God's word. You see things using the lens of God's word. Am I communicating? Allow God to brainwash you. Mele kobo sabakataya. Aya. Think the word only. Talk the word only. Aya, 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 aya. Are we together? So, first, understand, know and understand your inheritance. Then the second thing is contend to enjoy all of them. Somebody say all of them. Don't give the enemy the opportunity to take anyone. Contend to enjoy your inheritance in Christ. Porabakasaya. Lebrendo sofretila kapataya. I told you that though you have an inheritance in Christ, but there is an enemy. The Bible calls him your adversary. His name is called Satan. I also call him Shaitan. How do you call him in Igbo? Yoruba calls him Eshu. Eshu. How do you call Satan in Igbo? Eh? Ekwesu. You have an enemy, and his assignment is just to oppose all that is God's will and ensure that you don't enjoy your inheritance.
That is where the contention comes in. Are you listening? So you don't go to sleep after the knowledge and understanding that you have an inheritance. You must fight to enjoy it. You must fight to take possession of it. That's why he said, begin to what? Possess it, Deuteronomy 2:24, and contend with that enemy that has vowed to stop you from enjoying your inheritance. Contend with him in battle. These are militant words. They are militant words. When the children of Israel got to the promised land, it was not empty. Was it empty? No, it was occupied by giants. And yet, God said, based on the Abrahamic covenant, I have given you this land. And the enemy said, for where? Nanu go enter. Are you seeing something there? Now, based on that sworn oath, the Abrahamic covenant, God said, I have given you that land. Give me Genesis 15:17. Give me Genesis 15:17. He said, it came to pass that when the sun went dark, it was dark. Behold, a smoking furnace, burning lamp that passed between those two pieces. Next verse. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land. Which land? The land of Canaan. From the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Next verse. The Canaanite, the Kenizzite, the Kadmonite. Next verse. The Hittite, the Perizzite, the Raphaims. Next verse. 21. And the Amorite and Canaanite and Girgashite and Jebusite. See, these are inhabitants of the promised land. Can you see that based on that covenant, God said, I have given you the land, Abraham, to you and to your seed. Give me Genesis 17, verse 8. Genesis 17, verse 8. Are you understanding this? I'm showing you how to live the triumphant, victorious Christian life. You must have this understanding. Very important. You must have this understanding. He said, and I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Did you see that seed is just singular? It's not in plural form. It didn't say seeds. It's a seed. In Galatians 3, Apostle Paul threw more light. He said, it didn't say seeds as of many. It's a seed as of one. And that seed is Christ. And Christ has a head called Jesus. He has a body called the church. That means you are a part of that word Christ. So Christ equals to Jesus plus the church. And you are a member of the body of Christ, the church. So when he said to Abraham and his seed, he's also talking to you. Are you seeing this? He says, to you and your seed, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, the land of abundance, the land that flows with milk and honey. Am I communicating? He said, for an everlasting possession. Oh my God, did you see this? He said, for what? An everlasting possession. And I will be their God. Verse 9. Okay. Give me verse 7. Let me read from verse 7. He said, I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant. In other words, the Abrahamic covenant is an everlasting covenant. Are you seeing this? Because it's a covenant of grace. There was no law then. This preceded the law of Moses. This is different from the Mosaic covenant. What we call the Old Testament is the Mosaic covenant. The Abrahamic covenant predated the Mosaic covenant. Are you seeing this? It's a covenant of grace. It's an everlasting covenant. He says,
I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generation for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Verse 8, the one we read earlier. He said, I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land. You see, to thy seed after thee. And guess what? Israel is the natural seed of Abraham. The body of Christ, the church, is a spiritual seed. Christ is the spiritual seed of Abraham. Was the natural seed of Abraham? Isaac, that later gave birth to Jacob, and Jacob gave birth to the 12 tribe, and then the whole of Israel. So Israel is the what? Natural seed. Then Apostle Paul opened our eyes that seed is referring to Christ. So Christ is a spiritual seed, and that is where you and I come in, because we are members of the body of Christ. We are part of Christ. So this Abrahamic covenant also involves you and I. And by that Abrahamic covenant, God has covenanted the promised land to us. Are you seeing this? Okay. Let's move on. Shale gobo sabataya. Pray in tongues for 1 minute. It will open your spirit to receive more. It will enlarge your capacity. It will open the eyes of your understanding. Kali gobo rakapakataya. Le brondo sofretila kaparagatia. Le brondo sofreketila kundra haskata. Kalabarondo sofreketila barakatai. Le bondo sofratila kapatanas. In the name of Jesus. And I said, the reason for the contention is because of the inheritance or the treasure. If there was no inheritance, there would be no contention. Have you seen lands that have been disputed over, even in the natural, that nations are fighting each other? Can you remember that time that there was a time, this Bakassi Peninsula, that Nigerian and Cameroonian soldiers, those two nations were warring, they were fighting over it. Have you ever wondered why were they fighting over that Bakassi Peninsula? It's because there is what? Treasure there. There is an inheritance, there is a treasure. So the treasure on inheritance is the reason for the contention. The enemy is interested in it. And God said it is yours by covenant. Are you seeing this? So you don't go to sleep because there is a contention over your inheritance. Have you watched some Nigerian movie in which land dispute? Chiwetalu Agu. The guy, you know, they waste time. Sharp, he don't go native doctor, Ezemo, collect supernatural, kill the person. If I, you know, they waste time. Or Peter Dochi. You have any land dispute with those people, forget. That is a Nigerian movie. Oh. They know they waste time. They can kill it. They can even finish the whole family over land. It's a serious matter. Are you listening? Begin to possess it. How? By contending with him in battle. And I said, how do you do that contention? Number one, by fighting the good fight of faith. By fighting the good fight of faith. And we say, what is a good fight of faith? We say it is a fight to what? To make the legal aspect of our redemption your vital experience. It's a fight to maintain what has been obtained by the sacrifice of Jesus. It's a fight to receive and enjoy here and now all the blessings and benefits of the finished work of Christ. You must unleash your faith upon those contrary circumstances and prevailing situations. You unleash your faith in the same way people unleash police, they unleash bulldogs on criminals. So you unleash your faith on those stubborn and rebellious circumstances until they align to the word of God, until they align to the truth of God's word. Am I communicating? There must be a continual insistence until the word of God becomes your reality, until it becomes your experience. Malaka Sabalakida. Are you seeing this? 1 Timothy 6:12, Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, fight the good fight of faith. Don't just take things the way they are. Don't just tolerate. Listen, if your life does not look like what Jesus paid for, don't tolerate it. Don't accept it. Put up a fight. It's called the fight of faith. Are you listening? Use the revelation of who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, what you can do through Christ. Let that one fuel your fight. Let it fuel and energize you to fight the good fight of faith. Are you seeing this? You fight with the word of God in your heart and in your mouth. The word of God must be in two places. You fight that good fight of faith using the word of God. Where? In your heart and in your mouth. In your heart and in your mouth. And of course, you practice the word. You do the word. You act on it. Shale kobosa. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold epilambanomai, eternal life. It means that word epilambanomai, lay hold, it means to lay hold for accomplishment. To lay hold for safety. Let me ask you a question. Have you seen Christians that died in an accident? Some of us even know people. Even me, I know people. Believers that died in accident. Should I ask you a question? Is it because they don't have eternal life? Answer me now. Is it because they don't have? What's the problem? They didn't lay hold on it for safety. They didn't fight the good fight of faith to lay hold on it for safety. They didn't take advantage of what they have. You can have something and not take advantage of it. Hope you know. So that's why I'm teaching you how to contend for your inheritance. Haven't you seen Christians that died of sickness? Is it because they don't have healing or health as part of their inheritance? You see, you must be trained. You must be well taught. You must know how to contend to receive and enjoy everything that belongs to you. Or else the enemy may cheat you. Are you listening? Am I communicating? Are you listening? Shagabalataya. Have you seen Christians that died in poverty? Is it because Jesus has not paid the price for their poverty? Is that their inheritance in Christ? Is the word of God a lie? What was the problem? They didn't lay hold on their inheritance. You must learn to fight the good fight of faith. You must continually insist on what belongs to you. You, through meditation, the Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You meditate on the scriptural solution, the scriptures that contain all those in him scriptures. You meditate on them, those in him scriptures that reveals to you who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, what you can do through Christ, your inheritance, until light from heaven break out, the eyes of your understanding is enlightened. And then on the basis, on the strength of that revelation knowledge, that light, you engage in the fight. You fight the good fight of faith. Am I communicating? You fight the good fight of faith. Next verse. Palatasa balatia. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickened all things. Watch this. Before Christ Jesus, before Pontius Pilate, he witnessed a good confession. What? Can you remember during Jesus' trial, Pontius Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus did not deny who he was. He knew who he was. And even in the midst of opposition, in the midst of that trial, he was being condemned as a criminal. Yet Jesus did not deny who he was. He said, "Yes, I am. You said I am." He witnessed a good confession. How many Christians, small pressure, they are confessing negative. They are confessing contrary to who they are. Yeah. Some people tell you, "I go drop Bible." So look, this one not be Bible. Hey. So you can separate your life from the Word of God. So you have church life, then you have outside church life. Well done, Odo. You still have a long way to go. Am I communicating? As a Christian, there should be no difference between your life in church and your life outside church. The Word of God is your life. You should not be separate Bible. How can you separate Bible? That is a live Bible. Am I communicating? There should be no difference. Do you understand that the Word of God is your life? For if somebody says drop Bible, tell them, you are telling me to drop my life, because that is my life. I cannot drop Bible. Before Pontius Pilate, in the midst of contradiction, the Bible said Jesus did not deny who he was. He witnessed a good confession. The Bible said, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our faith without wavering." Let us hold fast. In the midst of contrary situation, hold fast. Even if you are as broke as a broken plate, hold fast to the confession of your faith, of who you are. Even if your body is racking with pain and sickness, hold fast. Kalabashata. By his stripes I was healed. Are you getting my point? Keep insisting on the Word of God. He said, hold fast to the confession of your faith without wavering. That's the problem. Many people waver. Today, in the morning, they talk positive. By the time challenges hit them, afternoon, evening, they change their confession. Jesus said, "You shall have whatsoever you say." If you speak the problem, what will you have? More problems. Because speaking is like sowing seed, and you are going to reap a harvest based on what you say. Instead of speaking the solution from God's word to your problem, you are busy using your words to describe your problem. Some are using their words to complain about their situation. Some say they are praying, but for 1 hour, it is a complaint commission. It is a protest platform. Prayer is not a platform for protest. Protest against God. It's not a complaint commission. It's not where you engage in grumbling, murmuring, complaining. Am I communicating? Neither is it a begging platform. No. It's prayer is a place. See, prayer is on legal ground. You argue your case based on the Word of God. You speak the language of God's word. That's the language that God hears and answers in prayer. Am I communicating? The Word of God is the constitution in God's kingdom. God is a righteous judge. So for him to hear and answer you, you must speak his language. You must speak in accordance with the constitution. Am I communicating? Does the judge just hear the lawyer because he's talking? No. It has to be based on evidence. It has to be based on the constitution. Whatever you are doing must be constitutional. You must bring proof from the constitution of that nation. And then you must supply evidence. And the Word of God is the constitution in the kingdom of God. The Word of God is the evidence. Are you getting me? The Word of God is the evidence upon which faith, the faith life is based. See, the evidence is not what you are seeing with your eye. It's not what, it's not manifestation. It's not what you are seeing. The evidence is whatever God's word say. The word of God is the reality about any situation. I've taught you before. What is this? What am I holding? If God's word says this is toothpick, then it is toothpick. Even though you are seeing Mike, it's to you that is Mike. To God it is toothpick. Whether you see it or not, that one is your problem. It's not God's problem. God's word is his own reality. The day you believe it and partner with him in faith, it will become your own reality too. God wants his reality to become your reality. I've taught you, reality is not visible appearances. Reality is not visibility. Reality is whatever God's word says about any situation. So God can look at Abraham. He said, a father of many nations have I made you. When Abraham was barren, he didn't have a child. Even Abraham needed to fight the good fight of faith for 25 years before he got Isaac. Give me Romans 4, verse 17. Watch this. Even Abraham, the father of faith, look at the way he fought. Aya. If the father of faith had to fight the good fight of faith for 25 years, say for that matter, and the Bible says Abraham is the father of us all, what makes you think you will not fight the good fight of faith? Didn't God tell him that he's going to have Isaac? Isaac was a promised child. He was a child of promise. But Abraham still needed to fight the good fight of faith. In the realm of the spirit, God had given him Isaac. But in the physical, he didn't see Isaac. He was being mocked and ridiculed. Him and his wife, as they tagged them barren. Abraham needed to fight the good fight of faith to materialize that prophetic word. Shabalakataya. To lay hold on that inheritance. He said, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. You see that? This is God, the past tense of God's word. God said, I have made thee. I'm not going to make thee. It's not in the future. I have made thee in past tense. How? Through the word of God. Through the words God spoke, God made him the father of many nations. God told him this word when Abraham didn't even have a child. So who is lying among them? Let's talk now. Who is lying? In the physical, Abraham, no child. But God said, I have made you the father of many nations. He didn't even say, I have given you Isaac. He said, I have made you what? The father of many. So who is the liar among them? The Bible says, let God be true. Let every man be a liar. Let your situation be a lie. Let your circumstance, your neck, whatever you are going through, be a lie. Put your faith in the word of God. Insist on it until you see the manifestation. People may call you crazy, no problem. Listen, look at me. If nobody has ever laughed at you or mocked you or accused you of taking things to the extreme in this faith life, you are not going anywhere. Did you hear what I just said? Men of faith are crazy people. Imagine Jesus stood, he was talking to a tree, the fig tree. He said, from now henceforth, no man eat fruit of you forever. The Bible says Jesus answered it. Jesus was hungry. He came to the fig tree. It was full of leaves. He thought that he would find fruit. But unfortunately, no fruit for him to eat to quench his hunger. And out of that anger, sponsored by the hunger, Jesus cursed the fig tree. He said, no, he answered it and said, no man eat fruit of it forever. Now imagine if you were around that vicinity, you saw Jesus talking to a tree. What will come to your mind? Jesus don't kolo. When last did you speak to your body? That pain in your body, or are you just massaging it, tolerating it? What is this mouth for? See, confession. Your confession of faith creates realities in the physical. You will not see manifestation in the physical if you don't learn to verbalize your faith. You must vocalize your faith. In fact, the angels have nothing to work with if you are not talking. They hearken to the voice of God's word. They do his commandment. Am I communicating? You see, what I'm teaching you is very practical. I'm showing you how to win in this Christian life. This is the way. You can't be quiet. When Satan is running rampage, things are going worse from frying pan to fire. Things are just... Put up a fight. Open your mouth. Start using the word of God in your mouth to handle the situation. Do you know Satan will have killed Jesus and his disciples in a storm? Are you aware? Those demons in the madman in Gadara that steered that storm, because Jesus was crossing over to deliver. They know that Jesus was coming for them. The madman of Gadara on the other side, Jesus told his disciples, let's cross over to the other side. The demons heard him. He's coming to deliver this madman. The legion said, he's coming to... Let's steer up a storm and cause accident, shipwreck, and kill Jesus and his disciples. That was Satan's goal. But look at it. The Bible says, when his disciples... they were carnal people. How can you solve spiritual problem using physical method? They were trying in the physical, trying to solve the situation. When they saw they were not making progress, water was beginning to enter the ship. Their lives were in jeopardy. The storm was of hurricane proportion. They cried to Jesus for help, and Jesus was asleep in the hinder part, and he awoke from the sleep. And look at Jesus. He did not say, Peter, give me the... What's that thing they used to ferry? He didn't say, Peter, you are not doing the thing well. Give me the ferry. Is that what Jesus did? See, when problems attack you, your first response should be spiritual. You see, the problem with many Christians is that we attack problems first from the physical instead of from the spiritual. Because every problem has a deep spiritual root. There is an invisible, unseen realm of the spirit that the thing is originating from, that you must deal with it. To deal with it from the root, attack the problem spiritually. That is how me I am. Every problem, my default mode is that I attack it spiritually first. Then from there, I can start de-escalating it. You may say, I'm doing too much. That's how I saw Jesus did it. When Jesus arose, look at what he said. He rebuked the wind and the wave. How? By speaking faith-filled words. Jesus fought the good fight of faith for their safety, to calm that storm. He spoke faith-filled words. He released his faith by his words. He said, peace be still. He spoke the solution in faith. He didn't complain of the storm. This storm too much. See water down the foot the boat. Jesus did not use his words to describe the problem. He didn't murmur, he didn't grumble, he didn't complain. He used his words to speak the desired solution based on the word of God. Peace be still. And the Bible said there was a great calm. He spoke to the wind and the waves. The wind is invisible. The wind is unseen. The wind is spiritual. The wave is seen. The wave is physical. The wave is visible. Can you see that? Every problem has two parts. The unseen, invisible, spiritual root. Then the seen, that's the wave. The seen, visible, physical fruit. Jesus attacked the matter. He spoke to the wind and the wave. He didn't just speak to the wave. He spoke to the wind and the wave. Peace be still. Jesus took both spiritual and physical action, and there was a great calm. Are you getting this? Imagine if Jesus did nothing, what would have happened? That is how the Messiah would have died before carrying out his messianic mission. A closed mouth equals a closed destiny. A closed mouth equals a what? Closed destiny. Can you remember the battle between David and Goliath? Do you know it was a battle of words? Hey, you cannot fight and win the good fight of faith until you win the war of words. Until you win the war of words. The problems that you face, the problems that come your way, they have a voice. They talk to you. Thoughts come to your mind. All of that. Do you know your bank account talks to you? They are making a statement. But are you answering them, or you are just keeping quiet? Is it that's the problem? Because if you are silent, you lose the good fire of faith by default. It's as if your opponent charged you to court and you became dumb. The judge asks, on so day, you are accused of this. Is it so or not? Boom. He didn't say anything. Who will win that case? Your enemy, your opponent. So, when those problems are talking to you in form of negative thoughts, worrisome thoughts, anxious thoughts coming to your mind concerning the problem, concerning that money problem, health problem, whatever academic challenge or whatever you are going through, learn to open your mouth and answer it. Answer it with what? With the word of God. Answer it. Look for the solution in God's word and answer it. You can be walking on the road. Thoughts can just come to you. Kai, this is your family. Poverty is too much. You too, you may die poor. The problem is, those thoughts came to your mind and you allowed it to stay. You accepted it. You entertained it. No. What you should have done is to answer that thought immediately using the word of God. Am I communicating? Goliath told David, I will cut off your head. David looked at Goliath. Ah! I think, is it 14 versus 40 something words? Goliath spoke like 14 words. David spoke like 40 something. I've forgotten. There was a time I counted the words. David spoke more words in faith than Goliath spoke to threaten him. Do you know that those words that David spoke in the realm of the spirit killed Goliath long even before the stone landed on his head? David won the war of words, so it was easy for him to win the good fight of faith. Never be silent in the face of opposition. Never be silent. No matter the pressure, as long as you still have a mouth, fight. This mouth is not only for eating food. Am I communicating? Is it only for eating food? No. It's to create your future. It's to create realities. It's to bet things in the physical. Do you know that every thought unspoken dies unborn? Any thought that comes to your mind, as long as you don't speak it, it will never manifest in this realm. But the moment you say it, you have given birth to it. The mouth is like a womb. Am I communicating? By which you birth things. The same way the womb carry baby and then you give birth to the child. This mouth, the moment you speak words, you have given them the legal permission to manifest on earth. But if you don't say it, it cannot happen. That's why I tell people, it's bad to think negative thought. Negative thinking is bad. But there is something worse than negative thinking. Negative speaking. Because the moment you say those things, you have given birth to them. expect them, they will manifest. Except a higher word overrides, overrules them. Am I communicating? To cancel them out with words of greater weight and authority and power. If not, those things will manifest. That's why when curses are pronounced, there is trouble. When people release spell, incantation and curses, those things will happen, except a higher power overrules them, which is the power of God. Are you seeing this? Are you listening? Maleko borabaka sakataya. Le grando so freketi lagabadia. Malakunde ke palatia. Braska tula kapatea. The blessing is released through words. Curses are released through words. Enchantment spells are released through words. Words are not ordinary. Hey. The power of God is released through words. See, how do I release the power of God? It's through words, intentionally. If I want to release the power of God, I use my words to release it upon people. So words are not ordinary. You need to understand something about words. They are containers of blessings or curses. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. The anointing is activated by speaking. There is a way I will speak that I will activate the power of God. This meeting will turn into something else. I'm telling you the truth. David vocalized his faith. Did you notice he first vocalized his faith? After speaking those words, the moment Goliath took one step like this, the Bible said David ran. He didn't reason in fear. Why? He had activated the anointing through those words he was speaking. And the anointing had taken hold of his mind, so he could not reason in fear. Boldness, audacity, my God. The Bible said David ran. Regardless the size of Goliath. When, let me tell you something. The reason why fear is gripping your mind is because the anointing has not taken hold of your mind. Spend some time praying in tongues and speaking God's word. Pray in tongues, speak God's word. By the time you activate the anointing is in your spirit. As you pray in tongues, you speak God's word. You pray in tongues, you speak God's word. You know what is going to happen? The anointing that is resident in your spirit will gain kinetic energy. It will gain motion. And then it will start traveling. Before you know it, travels from your spirit to your mind. It travels to your soul. And the moment it dominates your mind, you cannot fear again. You can't reason in fear. Every fear file will be deleted. Boldness and audacity. That's the next thing that happens to you. You become bold. You start seeing things the way God sees them. You start seeing things from mountaintop. Suddenly, that problem that looked big will now look small. Your perspective will change. Your viewpoint will change. Your mindset will change. Your thinking will change. You are not thinking the thoughts of God. You will now start speaking like God. Am I communicating? Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his mind, but believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Am I communicating? I'm showing you how to contend for your inheritance. By what? Fighting the good fight of faith. David told Goliath, I will cut off your head. Do you know the funny part? The Bible said there was no sword in David's hand. 1 Samuel 17. Read it. He said there was no sword. And David was speaking like that, I will cut off your head. What will he question? What will he use to cut off Goliath's head when there was no physical sword in his hand? Do you know words are swords? Words are sword. If you read the book of Revelation, Jesus, the Bible says there was a sword coming out of his mouth. The word of God. The sword in Jesus's, with Jesus, the sword Jesus wielded in the book of Revelation was not in his hand. In the Old Testament, they fought battles with physical sword. But in the New Testament, we fight battle with the sword of our words. The word of God in your mouth is the sword of the spirit. Are you listening? With which you fight the good fight of faith. With it you cut off cancer. You cut off sickness. You cut off the pain. You cut and kill the enemy. Am I communicating? The sword is now in your mouth. The word of God in your mouth. You speak it in faith. Goliath used the sword of God's word in his mouth to kill Goliath even before he threw that stone. And when he finally threw the stone, Goliath, bam. And then the Bible says David ran and stood on Goliath and now removed the physical sword of Goliath and then use it to chop off Goliath's head. After using spiritual sword of words to kill Goliath, is now using physical sword to finish the process. Rise to your feet. Hey, you must enter your inheritance this year. I say you must enjoy every single part of your inheritance this year. Maleboko sabalata. Lebreketoska bakata. Malabakata. In 1-2 minutes, our time is fast spent. I want you to lift up your voice. Shemila gabadia. The first prayer is prayer for Ephesians 1:17. That prayer Paul prayed. Aya. The reign of revelation. Because until your inheritance is revealed to you, you will not even know you have them. Am I communicating? He said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Next verse. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And when the eyes of your understanding is enlightened, you will know what is the hope of His calling. One. Number two, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance. Can you see that? Plutus, the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saint. The good part is that your inheritance is inside you. It's in your spirit. No armed robber can steal it. Can you shout amen? But you need revelation to assess it. You need to see it. Am I communicating? You can only partake of it in light. Mandabaya. I want you to lift up your voice. Say, Holy Spirit, enlighten the eyes of my understanding. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, let there be an outpouring of the spirit of wisdom and revelation upon me, so that I may know the hope of my calling and the riches of the glory of my inheritance in Christ. Go ahead and pray in the spirit. Agabala kabrande kebreketoska kalabarondo brokotosketila brakatai lebeketos. What eyes have not seen, let my eyes see. What ears have not heard, let my ear hear. What has not entered the heart of man, mortal man, let it enter my heart. Anoint my eyes with eyesight that I may see, assess, and enjoy my inheritance in Christ. The light of revelation. Pray for the reign of revelation knowledge. Labonde ke parakatai. Brakataka barakatoko brekete. Lepote se belekida.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sagon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699 1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.